You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Craig Forsyth and Tom Morley. We've got action on the turf at Beverley, all-weather racing at Lingfield and jumping from Warwick on Tuesday afternoon. So the old saying, something for everybody. And we've also got action in the evening as well from Chelmsford City. Joining me in the studio to look ahead to the best of that action is Gareth Topham. How are you, Gareth?
Yeah, hi, Mark. Good, thank you. Yeah, been fairly quiet over the last few days, but nice busy week to get stuck into now.
Yes, busy week. We've got the ARC coming up this weekend as well, so a huge week of racing, really. We're going to have a look at some of the news. We're going to look at the Monday jury in the Racing Post and then get stuck into Tuesday's action. The first bit of news we're going to talk about has no concern for this week whatsoever, but I thought we'd mention it anyway. Mike Bight, there was a lot of talk about him going to Haydock for the Betfair Chase, along with several other high-profile staying chase superstars. Today, the answer is that it might not happen, actually, because the primary aim for them is the King George, which is understandable given how well he runs around Kempton and what he was doing in the Corto Star before falling last year. So the idea is possibly that he might want an easier prep race, given that he's a bit of a character and he's not always the most straightforward. So maybe we won't see him there, but he looks an exciting prospect for the season, doesn't he?
He does. He's clearly got a quirk or two, but he appeared to iron those out, I thought, a bit at Aintree. He did everything at Aintree right, really. Of course, Kempton, he took that crashing fall, didn't he? That was the first time where we all thought, goodness me, this horse looks a little bit special. And, I mean, he'd have won that by such a long way. Then he tootled around Doncaster, didn't he? I think what was a match race, and that sort of got his confidence back. Then he won that dramatic RSA where he very nearly threw it away, where he sort of drifted badly right-handed on the run in veer towards the noise of the crowd. And then there were a few sort of doubts about him at Aintree, because he was against the same horse that he beat at Cheltenham in Whisper, who's, I think, 9 rising 10 now. So Whisper sort of setting the benchmark for his form at the moment. Probably he'll need to step up if he's now going to be taking on these top flight 3-milers, because I don't think Whisper would be quite up to their standard. But nevertheless, the way that he pulled Cheltenham out of the fire and then he did everything right, as I say, at Aintree, he's clearly would have strengthened up over the summer. And Nicky Henderson and his team, who do such a fantastic job, they no doubt have done everything they can to try and figure out what it is that this horse shies at, or you know, just what makes his concentration lapse a little bit, and no doubt they'd have put that right in time for this season. And we're going to find out on his seasonal debut, you know, whether he's still got these quirks or whether or not they've been ironed out. If he runs in a straight line, for me, I think he's got the ability to win most races that they put him into, because for me he looks an exceptional talent.
Yeah, I mean, he was gonna absolutely run away with the RSA, wasn't he, before he went on that little wander. He had the rest of them in whole heaps of trouble.
Yeah.
And then you'd be looking at a horse that's destroyed a field in a Cheltenham Festival race as high quality as the RSA as well. So.
Yeah, and there were plenty of people willing to sort of doubt Mike Bight, sort of saying, you know, his wins have come on flat tracks and everything. And I mean, he's clearly dealt with Cheltenham. He's dealt with the undulations. He clearly stays very, very well. I think he's got a bit of speed as well. You know, we're talking about Kempton, the King George, a track that he clearly acts very well at. Well, if he's not going to go to Haydock for the big race there, which can sometimes be a slog, what about something like the Peterborough Chase at Huntingdon? Right-handed, 2.5 miles. I do think this horse has got a little bit of speed as well as stamina. As I say, I think he could win pretty much everything, this horse. If they've ironed out those quirks, he's clearly got an exceptional amount of talent, and he's a really exciting horse to be looking forward to, particularly when the likes of Thistlecrack hopefully be making their comebacks, and sort of your Coney Grease, your Cue Cards. It promises to be, again, it's always an exciting division, the top flight staying chasers, and Mike Bight is just an extra ingredient to throw into the pot, and boy, he's a spicy one.
Yes. If it's the old phrase that we have to use, or the old caveat, if you like, but if they all get there in one piece by the time we get to the King George, what a race that'll be.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. And we could even have the likes of Duvan, of course, turn up as well. So it's a late Christmas present, isn't it? Let's hope that they all get there in one piece and they all return absolutely sparkling. But the promise that they gave us back last season, you know, it promises to be really, really exciting this time around if they all get there.
Let's move on to the Monday jury then. Obviously, plenty of these questions focusing on the weekend in France, where we have the Arc at Chantilly. And the first question is about the Arc. Is there anything that can trouble Enable in the Arc, Gareth?
Well, I think she's the exceptional sort of three-year-old talent this season, isn't she? And she's beaten the girls, she's beaten the boys. I don't think there is anything to trouble her. A few seasons ago, of course, Togruda won everything, another filly from this yard. And then, of course, she found life a little bit tougher as the season went on. But I think Enable's quite a bit better. I was really, really taken with her King George win, where, of course, she came home well clear of Ulysses, who has proved himself one of the top flight middle distance horses of the older generation, and he's probably going to be one of her main dangers. I think the French horses, which have sort of come out and have stated their claims, they don't look quite as solid, and for me, Enable just looks an absolute standout talent. She's won everything so far this season, and she's going to be a very, very formidable opponent to them all in France on the weekend.
She's 8-11 at the top of the market, Enable. She's shown up a little bit. I suppose part of that will be due to the news that Cracksman won't take place, take his part in the race. So then 6-1 for Ulysses, Order of St. George 10-1, 12-1 Parameter, Highland Reel 12-1, 14s to Shingis Secret, 14s for Saturno Diamond and Winter, 16s or bigger for the rest. Yeah. Any value? Obviously, she's very short.
There's probably a couple in there you've mentioned that I don't think will run. I think you'd be quite disappointed if horses such like Highland Reel won the Arc. Do you know what I mean? This race is basically the middle distance championship race of the whole year, anywhere in the world. This is the top race, and I'd be disappointed if Ulysses possibly, but I mean he's priced accordingly. He is the one horse that's of the older generation. I think he's really become a man this season, because he was billed as being a top flight 3-year-old, and it didn't quite come off for him back last year. But as a 4-year-old, he's just had the world at his feet and he's done everything right. He possibly is the one to challenge Enable. But I think Enable, I mean, very, very short in the betting, but rightly so. She's the standout talent, and fillies haven't got too bad a record in this race either. So
no.
I think Enable is by far and away the one to beat. She has the beating of Ulysses on their run at Ascot.
Yeah, if I was going to have a bet in the race myself, I kind of had a look at Winter, because she's a 3-year-old, she'd get the allowance the same.
Is she going to run?
That's the question, isn't
it?
So
if she was definitely going to run, she wouldn't be the price.
She's 14s, so she'd shorten up, wouldn't she?
And she'll be a fascinating contender as well, because, I mean, she'll be going up in distance again, and she, again, has had a very, very solid season. But I just think the Arc, I don't know what the weather's like in the Chantilly area this week. Of course, over in the UK, it's been pretty testing everywhere. But generally, I'd like a horse that I know has got the guaranteed stamina, has got the class, has already beaten the boys, and for me, it's Enable who ticks those boxes.
Cambatache gain revenge on Marsha in the Abbey. Marsha is the 9-4 favourite for the race at the moment here at William Hill. Batache is 7-2, 6-1 Signs of Blessing, profitable 16-1, 20-1 Cox Bazaar and Finsbury Square, and 25s are bigger for the others.
I'm a big Marsha fan.
Yeah.
I am a big Marsha fan, and I was rather annoyed with myself for not backing her in the Nunthorpe last time. Batache beat her quite comprehensively at Goodwood, but just looking at the running order of the races at Chantilly on the weekend, it's quite a strange running order, and I'm sure the television companies are not absolutely delighted with the way that it's panned out. But I think this race now is right towards the end of the day as well, and Batache in the past has just shown a little bit of anxiety down at the start, and he's a horse that just needs everything to fall right, and whether on a big day at Chantilly, for example, there's going to be a lot of noise, it's going to be a long wait, he's going to be there all day, whether everything can just fall the way that Batache needs it to, and again, he's coming up against the likes of Marsha, who thwarted him last time out. I think he is capable of beating her, because we've already seen him do it this year, and if he is at his brilliant best, he's going to be a big credible rival for Marsha. But Marsha's been here before, she's done it before, I think she might just do it again.
Will Limato regain the winning thread in the foray?
Not sure would be the answer to that. Again, a horse with a huge amount of talent, but I think possibly Limato's best days, they might just be behind him, and there's one or two creeping into the picture now at these sorts of trips, which are good enough to give him a hell of a race. So I think he'll go off at a relatively short price. He might not rate a great deal of value.
He's 5-1 in the market at the moment. 11-2 for Zelzal. Acclaim 7-1. 8-1 ends of court. Brando 12s with Cara, and 14s or bigger for the rest.
So yeah, it's going to be a good race. I think quite competitive, but I don't think a couple of seasons ago, Lamato sort of had the 7 furlong area. Sort of that was his patch. But there's one or two others now. You mentioned the likes of Brando. Acclaim is a big improver. Horses like that, and Zelzal as well, the brilliant horse from overseas. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he gets on against those. But possibly for me, Lamato's heyday maybe just behind him.
Okay, we're going to change the question slightly for the next one. What do you fancy in the big juvenile showdowns at Newmarket? It does say Anne Shaughnessy in the Racing Post, but we don't have the entries or the knowledge for that at the moment in the studio. But yeah, what about Newmarket? Any juveniles that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rattling good card, isn't it, on Saturday? And we've got a real mix of Group 1s and top competitive handicaps as well. The Cheveley Park Stakes, the race for the fillies. I've been impressed this season with Clemmy, and I think she's been kept fresh for a while now because she's been off the track for 78 days. She was pulled out at the Curragh last time out, which was a real shame. That was in the Moyglare Stud Stakes. But the time before, she'd won at Newmarket, albeit on the July course. But there's a bit of an undulation on both of these tracks, and she proved that she handled it really, really well. And she just changed her legs. That was in the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. She changed her legs when she came out of the dip, and she strode out really fluently all the way to the line. And for me, if she turns up on Saturday, she's going to be fresher than quite a few of her rivals as well. I think she's probably going to be the one to beat. In the Middle Park Stakes, again, it all depends what turns up. There are some very solid individuals, the likes of Havana Gray, who was only just beaten at Doncaster back a fortnight ago. I mean, he's a horse with a ton of speed. He's a little speedball. I was really impressed with James Garfield on the weekend. I don't think he's actually going, whether he goes to the Middle Park, just a week turnaround, but he's been a two-year-old I've liked all season since his maiden win at Doncaster. I was really taken with his performance at Newbury on the weekend. It's just whether he runs again, but if he does, I think he'd have a chance. And I wouldn't rule out Raja Singh. He was actually a horse I called win on debut at Newcastle at the beginning of the season. He then went on to taste Royal Ascot success. I think it was in the Coventry Stakes. Indeed it was. That was a Group 2. And okay, he was third last time out at Newmarket on the July course in the Arcana July Stakes, but it was not a bad run at all. He was staying on in the closing stages, and I think that this might just be run at a stronger gallop with possibly a bigger field, so Raja Singh would be by no means out of it.
OK, what's your tip for the Cambridgeshire? Nice easy one this time.
Cambridgeshire. Yeah. I'm going to throw, I mean, I don't know what's going to run, but number, where is it? It's right down towards the bottom. There's about 35 in the Cambridgeshire, isn't there? Yeah. There's a horse down here, and he's around about 40, 50 to 1. He's number 31 on the entries. A horse called Battle of Marathon. And it does take a bit of a leap of faith to support him, but he might just be a little bit of value because he really does revel in these big fields. He was third in the Lincoln back last year behind Secret Brief, staying on all the way to the line, and he had a pretty good season without winning back at last term. Now, this season it's been a completely different story. He was 22nd of 22 runners in this year's Lincoln behind Bravery. Bravery is likely to come here. He was then pulled out at Ascot very late. He didn't beat a rival home next time out at Pontefract in a 5-runner race, which I don't think would have suited him at all. He then went to Chelmsford on the all-weather, and he finished last of 13 there as well. So he needed to turn things around a little bit, and he did just that last time out, back at Doncaster, in a 10-runner race behind a couple of really improving individuals, one called Kryptos, who I called at Thirsk a few weeks ago, and he followed that Thirsk win up with this runaway success at Doncaster. I just think he's a horse that responds really well for his amateur rider, Nicola Curry, and he's a big, big improver. He was fourth, and I thought he ran a pretty decent race, and it was the first time this season that Battle of Marathon has actually shown something like his best, and I just wonder, is the time coming right for him now? He's bubbling up at the right time of the season. This will suit him much, much better than these races he's been contesting so far this season. He loves to fight his way through horses, this individual. I think he'll be staying on really strongly. They're going to go a real strong gallop. I thought at 40-1, 50-1, whatever, he could be a live player for a place.
Could be a nice bit of value there than in the Cambridgeshire. And the final question of this week's Monday Jory, courtesy of the Racing Post, is in light of the Lingfield concert controversy, is racing getting things wrong?
I don't think it is. Lingfield have clearly addressed the fact that maybe they got one or two things wrong about the concert that they had last week. It was the biggest crowd that they've held there, one of the biggest crowds they've ever held there, and I think it was, what, 12,000 or something, wasn't it? So, and clearly they thought that they had everything in place to cope with that, but obviously the crowds flocked to the track and it didn't quite go right. It turned out to be quite uncomfortable for some folk. The people who went there for the racing hardly got a look in at all, and overall it was an unsatisfactory experience. But I think we've seen time and time again, and this is why race courses do it. We see the Jockey Club race courses do it in particular, with your Jess Glyn Knights, your Tom Jones Knights. They work very, very well at places like Newmarket. I've been at Doncaster in this concert, even smaller tracks such as Market Racing. They do a really, really good job. The problem I think with Lingfield is I've been to Lingfield a few times. It's a wonderful track with tremendous facilities, but not for crowds this big. It hasn't got the sort of the capacity as Newmarket's July course, shall we say, and a few of the others like that. And just its location as well. It's surrounded by, I mean, the village of Lingfield is very small. I mean, there were car parking issues as well. I think owners and trainers were struggling to get a space and they were diverted miles away, which is not ideal because ultimately this is a race meeting, and without the owners and trainers should be getting all of the benefits going their way, because without them putting the money in and paying the bills, there isn't a product to start with. So I think on this instance, it didn't quite go right. I think Lingfield have very nicely addressed this, and they've owned up, they've held their hands up, they've said, look, yeah, we've got this wrong. If we're going to have an event like this in the future, we're obviously going to take everybody's points in, and I don't know, maybe they'll cap the crowd a little bit less. They can maneuver for improvement now. They've got time to do it, and they'll see if it'll happen again. But ultimately, I think this was a bit of a one-off. Generally, concerts at race meetings work particularly well. And yes, there'll be some people saying, yeah, well, if you're a racing fan, you know, Lingfield race an awful lot of times throughout the course of the year. And yes, whilst this for a hardened race goer was an unsatisfactory experience, I doubt it'll happen again anytime soon. And ultimately, a lot of young people go to these race concerts, and that would have been the sort of crowd that they were aiming for. It's a one-off. There's plenty of meetings at Lingfield and all these race courses which stage concerts throughout the course of the year. So I think Lingfield will learn from that, and hopefully we won't have an issue such as this again, because we don't hear about it. We don't hear about it generally at the other tracks. So I think this really was just a one-off, and Lingfield will learn from it.
Yep. Hopefully, no more issues will come of that kind of thing in the future. That's the Monday jury then for another week. We'll leave that there. We're going to move on to Tuesday's action next. We'll get a nap and a next best from Gareth.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then on to Tuesday's action. Gareth has picked out two races for us, so we'll get his thoughts in those. Now, the first race that you picked out is a bit of jumping from Warwick. It's the 3:30 at Warwick, which is a handicap chase, Class 3 event over the extended 3 miles and one furlong. We've got eight of them set to go to post here. Gareth, we've got several in-form runners as well. Good race, this.
Yeah, really good race, really competitive, and two horses are having a rematch from, I think, a nose separation last time out at Worcester. They're Son of Presenting and Bukal Orlin. But for me on that occasion, Bukal Orlin was quite lucky to get as close as he did to Son of Presenting, because Son of Presenting was idling badly on the run-in, and he probably hit the front a little bit soon. He's a horse that jumps very well, Son of Presenting. He's taken some of the toughest tracks, I think, to jump around the likes of Fontwell Park, Perth. Very, very good fences at Perth. He does tend to jump fluently, this horse. I just think he's value for a whole lot more than the short head that he beat Bukal Orlin by at Worcester last time out. Worcester, a track possibly not quite playing to his strengths with that long running. As I say, he was in front for an awfully long time, and well, he was 7 lengths clear at the last. So for Bukal Orlin to get, it wasn't as if Bukal Orlin was. Sort of getting to him through just staying on. Son of Presenting was pulling himself up. And I think the race is likely to set itself up quite nicely for Son of Presenting. Horses such as Kilfinnock and Bay, they're likely to give it a good go from the front for Charlie Longston and Johnny Burke. They're in great form at the moment. And this horse does like to go prominent. So I think the race will be run at a good gallop. He's an out-and-out stayer, Son of Presenting. He's won 4 of his last 5. I think he'll keep going on an upward curve. And that defeat at Perth, there was no disgrace in going down narrowly to Creevy Tennant, because Perth is Creevy Tennant's patch. So Son of Presenting, a strong selection in that very competitive race. And I think due to the nature of it being so competitive, he'll go off at quite a good price.
All right. Son of presenting then, strong selection for Gareth in the 3:30. Would that be the nap then?
That would be the nap.
And the next best then will come up in the 3:50 at Beverley. This is a good conditions race over 5 furlongs. We've got 6 of them set to go to post here. We know plenty about these sprinters. Gareth, who comes out on top on Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, we've already been talking on this podcast about the likes of Marsha and Batash, and I'm going to side with a horse that's been racing against those earlier on in the season, and that's number 4 on the card, Alpha Delfini, who, cast your minds back to last September, actually won the Beverley Bullet here. He's got plenty of really strong form. I just think he's found life a little bit tough this season, but he's been racing in graded, in group company, and as I say, he was beaten in the Nunthorpe 7 lengths. He was beaten at Royal Ascot behind Lady Aurelia, at Sandown behind Batash. This is going to be a whole lot easier for him, and we know that he likes the track here at Beverley, and although he only beat 3 home in this year's Beverley Bullet, which was his run last time out on the 2nd of September. The horse that's won that race, Take Cover, of course, he went in again on the weekend. The form's looking pretty strong, and he was only beaten 2 lengths. It was a bit of a bunch for the places. Take Cover, OK, he dominated the race, but of all of the others, you could chuck a blanket over them. And that was, for me, a bit of a return to form. Yes, he only beat 3 horses home, but I think he's going to find this an awful lot easier than the Bullet, never mind those Group 1 races that he's been contesting. So he's quite well in at the weights as well. He's got an official rating of 107. He's actually getting weight from one or two of these, which have got a similar mark. So I think all bodes well for a very, very big run from Alpha Delfini. And Brian Smarty, he's just been on the chilly list a little bit of late, but I don't actually think his horses are running badly. Winners, no, they haven't been there, but he's been getting quite a lot of second places. So maybe Alpha Delfini can just be the one to turn the corner for him.
Yeah, he is pretty well in at the weights, isn't he? Should be giving weight to all of these apart from Ornate.
Yeah.
Instead, the only two that he's giving, well, he's on level weights with the bottom two, Elysium Flyer and Ziggy Lee, which are rated £30, £20 inferior to him. And
yeah,
he's actually receiving weight from the rest. He is well in.
I just think Connections would be quite disappointed if he's not very, very close up in this. And as I say, for me, that was a good run in the Bullet the other day. The winner, He did dominate, but he's gone in again since, and he's clearly just an old horse that's thriving at the moment, Take Cover. And as I say, you could have chucked a blanket over the others because there was nothing in it among those placed horses, and he came off 7th. He might go 6 places better.
Superb. Good stuff, Gareth. Hopefully you get those up on Tuesday. Good luck with those selections, and enjoy the action.
Thank you. Will do.
There you go. The thoughts of Gareth Topham on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with myself in the studio, Mark Walton, and it's Craig Forsyth and Tom Morley. Hopefully finding the winners for us, Beverley, Lingfield and Warwick, the afternoon meetings, Chelmsford City in the evening. Do join us for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.